If you take God's word with me and go with me to Psalm 86, Psalm 86. Psalm 86. I appreciate Brother Turner's friendship, and we call each other every Wednesday and pray before our evening service and his afternoon, and I appreciate the time of prayer that we get to spend with each other, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here with my wife, Jessica, and we left our two children back with Grandma and Grandpa, so you can pray for them, not the children, the parents and grandparents, so that God helps them get sleep while they're away. Psalm 86, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. The Word of God reads, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me." I want to take for our text verse 17. It may be a verse that you've read before or heard preached on before, but this is the psalm that has spoken to my heart more than any other psalm over the last year and a half. This verse, "Show me a token for good." Not tell me about a token for good, but show me a token for good. Not talk about it, show me a token for good. Not to really have a hope for a token for good, but to show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it. If that doesn't ring true over the last year and a half, I don't know what does. That they which hate me may see it. There is a world that does not like the local New Testament church. There is a world that does not like Bible Christianity and people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we've seen that in the laws of our land. And there are those which hate the work of God. They actually hate it and they want to do away with it. That they which hate me may see it. Why does he want, the psalmist here, David, want to see a token for good that God actually shows him personally, so that they that hate him may actually see it and be ashamed? I think that's wonderful. Be ashamed. And I'm praying that God will take his local church during this time and work in our hearts personally in such a way that the world that tries to do away with Christianity, one day they'll be confounded and they'll have to stop and say, you know, we tried to do away with the local church. We tried to stamp it out, but I see something. We tried to do something to them, but God has done something to us, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, O Lord, hast hope in me. We need the help of God. We need the strength of God. And that strength doesn't come by trying to be stronger or trying to strategize to become a better or bigger church. That strength comes by relying completely and fully upon Christ. And then he says here, and comforted me. And we know in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is that comforter. And he's the one who comforts us during this time. And I just want to work through this psalm very quickly and just talk about this. Show me a token for good. And I'm praying that this evening that the Lord will help you pray this prayer to the Lord. Lord, show me a token for good. The first thing is the reality of our need. We all have a need this evening. Notice what he says in verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. I can say that as a testimony that I don't even know what to do from day to day. How about you? Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. If there's any time God needs to hear our prayers and answer our prayers, it's right now. We are in a desperate situation. Notice verse 2. He says, preserve my soul. Preserve it. This word preserve has the idea of protecting. Enabling us, in spite of the onslaught of Satan, in spite of the attacks of Satan, that God will actually preserve us from evil. It's like he said in Psalm 23, as David writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, deliver us. We need to be delivered. And the Lord will protect us. He will guide us. And as the prayer, as we talk about the Lord's prayer, Lord, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He says, preserve my soul. Then notice what he says here. He says, for I am holy. Now, he's not saying he's trying to be holy. He's talking about his position in Christ. He's saying here, I am holy because I am one of God's children. It is nothing in and of myself that makes me holy. It is because I am rightly related in position to Christ. Now, we know every day we sin against God. But I'm thankful that I am holy, not because I try to be holy, not because I try to pull myself up by my own bootstraps and make myself holy, but because God has separated me unto himself, and he is making me holy day by day. And then he says, O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. And we need trust in him. And I've been going back to these simple verses that you've heard preached on as a child or memorized in church. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I began to study that and I began to think, you know, looking to Jesus means you have to turn from everything else. That's a simple thought. But we look to so many things. You turn on the radio and you hear everything negative. When's the last time you've heard something positive on the radio? You look at your phone and you can pull up CBC or CTV. You can pull up global news. No matter what kind of news you pull up, it's all negative. The world is falling apart and everybody's going to die. But God says here, he says, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Not looking unto all things, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he says here, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. How about you? Have you cried unto him daily? How passionate have your prayers been? The one thing that God is really burdening my heart about, he's really done away with all of our schemes, hasn't he? And we've come to the end of ourselves and we thought, well, if you don't work, God, then nothing else is going to happen. He says here, be merciful unto me, for I cry unto thee daily. Really, the work of the Lord in his church is not that we are working for him, although that is important. The work is the work of prayer. Prayer is the work. Then notice what he says in verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I confess that I had struggled with discouragement. I don't know about you. And depression is a huge thing. Just since the last year and a half, they did a study among 25 to 34-year-olds across Canada. And they found out that one of the highest causes of death is suicide. This is over the last year and a half. And God says here, he says, rejoice the soul of thy servant. We need to joy that we can serve the Lord. And so many times it's a drudgery to us. And we think, well, I have to do this. And I remember back We would get up. I remember Easter Sunday, and we stood up, and we're trying to get the internet to work. And we stand there, and I get up to start the service. Everything is right. Hours on end. We purchased the same. I asked Brother Raver, can you help us get a video camera? You know, send us the one you got. You know, tell us the information. So we ordered the same thing. We had it set up just like he wanted. Did it work? No, it didn't work. And you think, what is going on? Easter Sunday, the internet crashed. And we had to stand up there and redo a sermon and pre-record it in the afternoon because the morning service didn't work and all of our people were at home. Can you relate to that? God says, he says, rejoice the soul of thy servant. In everything give thanks, as it says in 1 Thessalonians. That's hard to do. And then he says, O Lord, unto thee do I lift up my soul. Verse 5, for thou, O Lord, art God, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Over the last year and a half, I've had to just read the Word of God. There have been days I've had to stop what I was doing and just sit in my office or go somewhere quiet and just open the Bible and say, Lord, I'm going to read until you help me today. He says, he's plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon him. Give ear, O Lord, unto thy prayer and attend the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble will I call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Now, we should always call upon the Lord, but the trouble really reveals how much we should call upon him. And he says, in the day of my trouble, I think it's so wonderful that God is so merciful unto us. He knows we have neglected him so much in days of prosperity. But when we get to those days of trouble and we haven't sought him like we should, he convicts us, shows us where we're wrong. We repent, we get right with him, and we realize it's a day of trouble. I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. He says in verse 8, among the gods, there is none like unto thee. And we've heard it already this evening. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we quote that and we say, there's no other way of salvation but through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. But there's no other way to live the Christian life. He says here, among the gods, there's none like unto thee. And we can have idols that creep up into our lives as well. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee. O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. So he talks about in verses 1 through 7, he talks about the reality of the need. Have you seen the reality of the need in your life this evening? Then in verse 8 and following, he talks about the reality of God. You see, our real need is not just God to reveal all the things that are wrong that need to get right in our lives. The real need is our need for God. This is something we're missing. We dethroned God today, so to speak. We've tried to take him off his throne, but God will not share his glory with anyone else. He says in verse 8, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Now, we know that the Bible says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We know one day every knee shall bow, whether they want him to or whether they want to or not, they will bow before the Lord. And they will confess him as Lord. And we see his sovereign power. We see his singular salvation, that he says, I am the way, not only the way to live the Christian life, but the way to be saved as well. And he says, do I have lordship over your life? He says, all nations. I think about that. Notice verse 10. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Hold your place here. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just trying to remind you of some things this evening. I hope you don't mind that. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse He says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I like that. He says, "Now unto him." You see, it is not about what we can do for God. It is about our relationship to God and realizing the reality of God. God says here, "Thou art great." God's able to do great things. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, who started the China Inland Mission, he was burdened for China. He went into the Shanghai area, and then he went back for a furlough time to the UK, back to England, and he was in Brighton, England, down in the southern coast of England, and he went to go to the churches, and remember, this is the Victorian era, and there was much prosperity in the world at that time, and he began to see the need in China because he went back and saw the prosperity in the UK. And he was in one of the churches on a Sunday, and he couldn't handle himself in church. He just could not stand to be in that church service. And the reason why is he looked around and he saw all the people in their frilly dresses and fancy clothing and all the men in their suits carrying their Bibles. And he saw that all the women had the fancy hats and they had much prosperity in that day. And he began to look at those beautiful ornate buildings and he began to think about the great need in China and how that there was a place that they could pioneer and go beyond the regular places that most missionaries go. And he ran out of the church, ran down the hillside. If you've ever been to Brighton, England, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's on a hill just like this area, but even steeper. He went down to the water, to the coast of Brighton Beach, and he surrendered to the Lord to say he will go inland China. And he started the China Inland Mission. And one of the ladies years later, as she surrendered, went and she began to tell the person that was really traveling with her by ship. He said, "Where are you going?" And she says, "I'm going inland China. I'm going to China inland, the rougher parts." He said, "You cannot go there. Are you crazy? You'll die." She said, "I died before I ever got off, before I ever got on the boat. I died to myself, my own wants, my wishes, my desires." He says, "For thou art great." We have a great God. We see churches dying on the vine, and yet we have a great God. And Hudson Taylor said this, "God is always advancing." He's always advancing. There's not a time where God is not advancing. We have a great God. He does wondrous things. There are young people here this evening. I was called to preach when I was 13 years old. I was in a church service just like this, and I heard the preaching of God's word, and God stirred my heart to preach. And I said, "That pastor, I want to preach like that." God called me to preach. I didn't know what that was. I knew God put a desire on my heart to preach. And I told my pastor, he said, "Good, you'll announce it next Sunday." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute." And I began to preach about a year later in grade 7. What I'm trying to say to you, God can do great things with you. Amen. God desires to do great things. Maybe there's a young man in here. You say, "I want to be a preacher. God has called me to preach." He can do that. It doesn't matter how young you are, if you know the Lord. You say you're a young lady and you want to be a missionary. That's a wonderful thing. God says he's doing great things. Notice verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." We've lost the fear of God today. We think we can get by and live in liberty and just you know, 1 John 1, 9 it. And God says, "No, unite my heart to fear thy name." Notice verse 12. "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever." I can't say that, can you? There have been times where I've complained, even this day. Verse 13, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. I'm glad of what Psalm 41 through 3 says. I cried unto the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And he took me. I was headed on the road to destruction, just like in Pilgrim's Progress. I had the sin weighted on my shoulders, headed toward a devil's hell. But one day, somebody showed me the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody showed me from the Bible that he paid for all of my sins. And I realized that I was a sinner, and I trusted Jesus Christ. He's delivered me from the lowest hell. And you know, he's delivered me from the lowest disappointments too, even as a pastor. Notice verse 14. He says, "Oh God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them." How many people have said something about you as a pastor during this time? Oh, there's much controversy. There's much criticism. But let's look unto Jesus. He says, "Oh, they sought after my soul." Because here's why: they have not set thee before them. That's the reason why. And then notice verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." The only place we can run to is our reality of God. He's full of compassion. You can't run to your church and find members there who have compassion sometimes. You can't run to anybody else. You can run straight to God. And then he says, he's gracious. I'm glad God has put up with me so many times. He's long-suffering, and he's plenteous in mercy and truth. And then he tells us here not only the reality of the need, the reality of God, but then he gives us finally the reality of our walk. He says in verse 16, "Oh, turn unto me. Oh, turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid." He says, "Oh, turn me." That sounds like Psalm 85. "Wilt thou not revive us again?" It sounds like Psalm 80 when the psalmist prayed, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and we shall be turned." And then he doesn't say, "Turn us" here. He says, "Oh, turn unto me." There's a turning that we need to God. And there's a prayer that we need to pray, that God turns unto us. And then he says, "And have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servants." It's like it was in the book of Nehemiah, as was preached earlier, as Nehemiah would pray as he's building on that wall. He says, "Oh God, strengthen my hands." He says, "Give thy strength unto thy servants. Save the son of thine handmaid." And then he gets to our text verse. Show me. Don't tell me about it. Show me a token for good. And I began to study the word token. You know what a word token means? It means a sign. It doesn't mean that you'll be shown good. He's so discouraged here. He's not praying that God would show him good. That's not what he prayed. He prayed that God would show him a sign for good. Not just good. Oh, he wanted to see good. But he was in such a state, he was praying, "Lord, just show me a token. Just show me something, a sign that represents something that shows me something for good." A token, a sign, something that is intended to represent or indicate another thing. When you think about it in the Bible, the rainbow in the Bible was a representation. That was a token for good. That was a promise that God would not destroy the earth with a flood again. And when they saw the rainbow, they saw the promise. Now, God, in that, there was a token there. That wasn't anything for good necessarily. That was just a representation of the good that God was going to do. And I say, we're in such a state. We need to pray unto God and say, "God, we don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do, but we know this. Lord, just show me a token for good." Here's another token in the Bible: the blood of Christ. I think about that. The blood of Christ. He shed his blood for us. In the Old Testament, they took the blood and put it on the doorpost. God says, "When I see the blood, when I see that token for good, then I will pass over you." God says here, "Lord, show me a token for good." I don't know what token you need this evening, but I know I need one. So let's pray God helps us to see the reality of the need, the reality of our God and the reality of our walk.